Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. I'd like to look at verses 12 and 13 this evening. And before we read, let's ask our Lord's blessing. Our Father, we thank you for the evening that you've given us to assemble ourselves together in worship. And Lord, as we come before you tonight, we do so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing that our only acceptance is in him. Lord, I ask you now to help us. Lord, teach us through your word. Bless the word to our hearts by your Spirit. And forgive us for Christ's sake. Amen. We've been considering the chastisement of the Lord. In verse 5 of chapter 12, the apostle says, "You've forgotten." And oh, how we need to be reminded often of the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Why? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Almighty God does not deal with his people as enemies. He deals with his people as his children, as sons. Verse 8 tells us, if you be without chastisement. And I want to remind us, we all need to hear this. Everyone goes through troubles. Everyone has trials. Believers and unbelievers. But a believer is in the chastisement made to realize again that his sin is before God. He has sinned before the God that loves him, that chose him, that redeemed him, that regenerated him, that keeps him, that shall forever be with him. We need to be reminded who we're dealing with. The unbeliever doesn't care. Does not care that he sinned before God. He has. But he doesn't care. That's why David said in Psalm 51, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this great evil in thy sight." The prodigal, remember what he said? "I've sinned against heaven and before you. Make me one of your hired servants." What broke his heart was he had sinned against his dad. Disappointed his dad. Disappointed the one that loved him, that cared for him, had heart for him. That's chastisement. You disappoint the one you love, that loves you. It breaks your heart. If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you're bastards and not sons. And then the apostle reminded us that our fathers, verse 9, after the flesh corrected us, we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And then he tells us something in verse 10 that we're keenly aware of. I'm sorry, verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. These afflictions, chastenings, outwardly, inwardly, mostly inwardly. Outwardly, yes, but inwardly, we feel the sting of it. And the disappointment in ourselves. But these afflictions instruct God's people concerning hope in Him, patience in Him, humility and self-denial. And by these afflictions, by these chastisements, we're taught to trust God, to believe Him. We think back, you look back. You know, no chastening for the present. I told you last time. You know, we look back and we think, oh, that which He's taught me. That which He's kept me through. That which He's sustained me under. And it's hard. These chastisements are painful. They don't seem to be joyous. They're grievous. But there's a profit in them. It yields that peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised. Wherefore, verse 12, wherefore, knowing all these things, knowing that all of God's people are going to go through trials and tribulations and chastisements, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. You that are fatigued yourself with the weight of trials and sufferings. And those that are going to live godly in this world, this is what the Word of God promises. They that will live godly in this life, in this world, are going to suffer persecution. You're going to have it. Stand fast. This is the word of encouragement from our Lord. Look unto Him who is our strength. Do we not need to be reminded? I mean, while we're right here, and while we're in this building, and we're sitting and we're listening to God's Word, and we agree with this, we know this. But when we're in the fire, when you're thrown into the burning furnace of God's chastening hand, loving chastening hand, lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees. Be of good cheer. I need something that's going to keep me in the midst of that. And I'm telling you, and you know this, a word from a well-meaning friend, if it's just their opinion, what's that? But according to His Word, according to the Word that is life. David said in Psalm 27:13-14, I'd fainted, lest I'd believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. A believer in the midst of adversity, and trials and tribulations. And we all have them. If we're without them, we're illegitimate. But that word of encouragement I need to my heart. Lord, make that real to me. Lord, help me. If I by the grace of God am kept and taught, and that word is heartily applied to my heart, I can be encouraged. But not only is this an encouragement to the one in the affliction, but it's also an exhortation to lift up the hands that hang down in the feeble knees of our brethren. Those that need our encouragement and reminding of God's Word. Again, not We want to be an encouragement. But give encouragement where encouragement does some good. It's got some strength to it. Isaiah 35, 3 and 4 says, "Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart," that is, forgetful of His promises. And who's not guilty? Who is not guilty of forgetting? Whatever the trial is, whatever the tribulation is, that word from Him that I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I remember one time I was with one of the little nephews, and we were in a little game room or something. It was dark. It was dark. It just pitch black, and it was a little maze. And I can remember him holding on to my hand, and the darker it, we were walking, it got darker, darker, darker. And the darker it got, the tighter his hand was on mine. He's going to make sure. I'm not going to get away from you. Wherever you are, that's where I want to be. I need to be reminded, Lord, wherever you are, that's where I want to be. Because you've promised wherever I am, that's where you're going to be. Lord, I need that strength. I need that word. Say to them that are forgetful of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance upon the oppressor that oppresses you, upon Satan. Even our God with a recompense. Even God with a recompense, a punishment upon the wicked, those who are the pawns of Satan. He will come and save you. Comfort God's people. Encourage those that need encouragement, that are ready to faint. Isaiah chapter 40, this is a word that we've read so often, but a word to God's people, from God's preachers especially, but every believer to another believer. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably. Speak to the heart, is what it means. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare, her appointed time, is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Speak comfortably to God's people. Comfort them in the Lord. Rehearse the words of God's promise to those that are going through the trials and tribulations. He's faithful. I know He's faithful. He'll never leave. He's steadfast. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God in Him, in Christ, are yea, in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." Say to them that are of a fearful heart. And are we not all in that place often? I know who we are in Him. Redeemed. Kept. But I'm telling you, we're in this world. And we're still in this flesh. Be strong. Fear not. Don't doubt the fulfillment of His promises. I remember talking with Brother Scott right after I'd received some news from a doctor that I really wasn't expecting. And I was talking to Brother Scott about it. I knew he'd been there. And I just related what had happened. And this is what he told me. He said, "The worst part of it is when you first hear it. The Lord will provide. He'll keep you." And you know, in time, as my heart settled and musing upon His words, reading His word, His scriptures, His truth, That proved to be so. The Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world, took our nature and lived for us, died for us, buried for us, rose for us, ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's coming again. This life is but a vapor. This life's almost over. We're going to see Him and going to be with Him. Forever behold the glory that was given unto the Son from before the foundation of the world. Verse 13 says, "And make straight paths of your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Make straight, make right, make honest paths, your conduct. For your feet, your walk, make the Word of God your desire and your instruction to yourself and to others. Following after Him by faith. Proverbs 4 verse 26 says, "Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established." Brother Henry said one time to a group of men, I believe it was to the preacher's school where he was, and one of the men related this to me. I was never in that preacher's school that Brother Henry taught. And he told those men, he said, "Listen," he said, "if God calls you to be a pastor, if God places you in a place and raises up a church and puts you as the under-shepherd there," he said, "I want you to always remember one thing." He said, "You're cut out of the same lump as everybody else." He said, "You were redeemed by the same blood. You have the same passions as everybody else. You're just like everybody else. But you're held to a higher standard. As God's preachers," he said, "you're in a fishbowl." And he said, "You walk accordingly." That's right. Make straight paths of your feet. Lest that which is lame, lest that which is weak. Walk worthy, Paul said in Ephesians 4:1, of the vocation wherewith you're called. With all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Walk worthy, make straight, make honorable, make honest your feet, your path of your, for your feet, lest that which is lame, weak, be turned out of the way. Rather let it be healed. Lest a weak believer, one through weakness of maturity or judgment, stumble and be offended because of your lack of consistency. You say, "But I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God." That's right. Walk accordingly. Restore that one that's fallen. Encourage that one which is weak. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Remember, though redeemed by grace, regenerated by God's Spirit, we are still in this flesh. The motions of sin are still there. And if a brother is overtaken in a fault, one overtaken because of the presence of sin, and we all have it, make every effort to recover, to restore, to reestablish that place, that position of fellowship for Christ's sake. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God." God's people are frail creatures. And they're the ones that's most aware of it. We're going through this world lovingly chastened by the Lord. And because of the weakness of our flesh, we find ourselves cast down often. We feel the weakness of our flesh, that old nature. Be an encouragement to believers. And encourage believers. Encourage God's people. Remind them of His promises. Walk worthy of the calling that Almighty God's called you to for Christ's sake and for the good of His people.